The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
America, a wake-up call, courtesy of the Bob France Authority on AM 1420, The Answer.
All right, 10:07, hour number two is underway. I got a message. It's Thursday, rather, the 21st morning of the 10th month of the year of our Lord, 2021. I got a message from Charlie during the break in response to the to the antibodies party. He said, if I get a piece of pizza with anchovies on it, I'm going to throw it at you. No, you will not. You will take that pizza and you will eat it. You must comply. Do you understand the point of the compliance pizza, which will be a feature at the antibodies party tonight? You don't have a choice. You just order, tell the waitress you want a pizza. They will put whatever they want on it, and when they bring it, you must comply. That's the compliant pizza. You must eat what you are given. And then, once you do that, then you may be entitled to one of the voluntary shots that'll be made available as well. Including a booster if you need one when you are done with the first one. It's going to be a great time tonight in Lakewood at the Avenue Tap House. If you have not yet made your plans to be there, I hope you do. And make sure you are wearing the They Don't Want Science, They Just Want Compliance t-shirt at the party tonight. It's going to be a great time. All right. As it is Thursday, let's say welcome now to our good friend and regular Thursday guest, Dr. Everett Piper, joining us on AM 1420, The Answer. Dr. Piper is a past university president. He's a best-selling author. He's a columnist, weekly columnist for The Washington Times, and he has his own radio podcast in Oklahoma called The Rebellion. Dr. Piper, good to have you back. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Hey, I know you've already printed up those t-shirts, and no one sent me mine yet. I just want to make that clear. But you need to put a hashtag on that shirt. The hashtag should say, I have antibodies.
You know, that's a great point. That's a great point. We're going to have to do that, although the next batch has already been ordered with the existing screen print. So we'll have to do that for the next time around.
Well, if you steal my idea and just print new shirts that say, I have antibodies, I want at least 49% of the cut, okay?
I can make that happen. And by the way, you're right, you haven't gotten one yet. I haven't mailed any of them out yet. The only ones we have sold so far are in person at events like the one we're having tonight. So people are coming to the tables, and they don't have to pay shipping that way. They can just buy it right there on site. But once I get the distribution worked out and figured out and the shipping worked out, believe me, I'll be sending one out your way to Oklahoma. And I'm honored.
Well, I promise you.
Yeah.
I promise you, you know, I'm campaigning for county commissioner for Osage County District 1 in Oklahoma, and I will wear your t-shirt everywhere I go if I get one.
I believe you. I absolutely believe you, and that's why I want you to have one, and I'll be honored that you will. I think that's fantastic, and it's obviously a message that, of course, applies all over this country because we're all facing the same sort of draconian, tyrannical mandates by a guy who doesn't have the authority to do this. So that's where we are.
I'll send you a picture of me in the t-shirt with my cowboy hat and open carrying.
I love it.
And then you can, all right?
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to see that. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm just going to, even if I don't have anything worked out, I'm going to grab one. I'm going to get it in the mail to you ASAP just so that I can see that picture. And I'll put it on the website that we're going to be using to sell these things. All right, Dr. Piper, let's get into some of the news of the day. And we always like to start when we can with your column in the Washington Times. And I want you to, I love that you always manage to work Bible quotes in, scripture in, not always, but almost always, into the arguments you're making about some of the issues that we are facing today. And you go very specifically into that this time around, talking about Americans, you know, being ordered to submit to Biden. And by quoting Romans, is that you or is that a dog?
I'm so sorry. My Labrador Retriever started barking. I was panicking for a second.
I thought maybe it was you. You're excited about what we're talking about, right? tell us about our biblical non-requirement to submit to everything that we are told by this would-be king. Go ahead.
Well, you were gracious enough last week to remain somewhat silent when I took on the Pope with his comment about fundamentalism. And so this week I'm going to take on my own again, which is what I should do, and I'm going to take on evangelicals.
Okay.
I'm so sick and tired of evangelical leaders throwing out Romans 13, verse 1, and saying that all of us are obligated to bow to the government when the government says bow. And this is ubiquitous. Evangelical leaders across the landscape, big-time folks, are preaching this message that because Romans 13, 1 says, I've got to find it here. It says that we are obligated to obey the government, that the government that God has placed over us is something that the obedient Christian, the biblically faithful Christian, is obligated to obey. Well, Romans 13:1 does say that. It says that let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. And as a Bible-believing Christian, I believe I'm obligated to take that verse seriously. But here's my question. Shouldn't we define what governing authorities are when Paul refers to that? And here's another question. Is the governing authority in Great Britain different than the governing authority in first century Rome? I think the answer is yes. Is the governing authority in modern-day Syria different than the governing authority in the United States? I think the answer is different. So when we're told by our evangelical leaders to obey the governing authorities because Romans 13:1 says so, shouldn't we ask this obvious question? Who's the governing authority? What's the definition of that for Americans? And as you know, I go through quote after quote after quote, where we are told what? The governing authority in the United States of America is we the people. You know, Lincoln said, the people of the United States are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts. We have the signer of the Declaration and the signer of the Constitution, Justice James Wilson, that says sovereignty resides in who? The people. We know that President Grover Cleveland said the sovereignty of America's free people is, to my mind, the working out of the divine right of man to govern himself. This is a manifestation of God's plan for the human race. Thomas Jefferson said there must be a final arbiter. True, there must be, but the ultimate arbiter in America is who? The people. I mean, Bob, we could go on and on and on. James Madison, Andrew Jackson. We know that James K. Polk. We know that President Gerald Ford. We know that Ronald Reagan. We know that Omar Bradley and Teddy Roosevelt all said it's we, the people, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And my land, when evangelical leaders say obey the government, in the United States, the definition of the governing authorities is you. It's me. It's we, the people. We're not supposed to bow to the government. The government is the people. We have the voice. We have the authority. We are the government. We are the king in America. And anybody who disagrees with that definition of the government in America is the one out of conformity with Romans 13:1, not you and not me.
You know, with the plethora of quotes that you used in this article, many of them the founding fathers, many of them prominent American citizens and elected officials and presidents and other just great thinkers like Bill Federer, your point is almost irrefutable. Your point, buttressed by the quotes of all of those people, are almost irrefutable. So what are the other people in your faith, in your church, in the Church of the Evangelicals, what is their refutation? What do they say? Well, how do they argue against everything that you listed in that terrific piece of yours?
I think they argue from a point of ignorance, and the ignorance is this: we haven't been teaching civics in our schools for generations. I mean, even you and I weren't taught civics; we were taught social studies.
That's right.
When we stopped teaching the Constitution, when we stop telling our progeny what it means to be an American, We created a nation of people who are stupid. We've educated ourselves into imbecility where we don't even understand what it means in America to say you must obey the government. We think that that is a reference to the president or to the Congress or to the Senate or to your local mayor. No, none of those people are in charge of us. We are in charge of ourselves. If we would just teach the Constitution in our schools rather than this lunacy of LGBTQIAS, SJW, BLM, alphabet soup nonsense, we might be able to return to a free country and a free people.
Dr. Everett Piper is our guest on AM 1420, The Answer. He's always got something good in the Washington Times, and he's got great analysis of it here. We'll take our time out here so that we have room on the other side. Two different parts of the same story. Dr. Piper takes on Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg in a couple of different ways for a couple of different reasons. And we're going to talk about that with him next as we continue on AM 1420, The Answer. Okay, 10:21 now. I've got time to talk about two different subjects involving the Transportation Secretary, Pete Buttigieg, who has been in the spotlight lately for a couple of reasons. Number one, for the fact that during this critical supply chain disruption that we are experiencing that is leading to empty shelves and promising really, really difficult Christmas shopping during the holiday gift buying season, and making life difficult just for middle America, the transportation secretary who's responsible for all of this has been AWOL, absent without leave, and in fact was home, apparently with his new adopted child, or two adopted children. Pete Buttigieg took 2 months of paternity leave, which no one, according to multiple reports out of Washington, D.C., has ever heard of before, an elected official taking two straight months off, paid months off, particularly when they're not a nursing mother. Dr. Everett Piper, there's a couple of elements here that you touched on both on Twitter. Number one, how long he was gone during this crisis. And number two, you talk about the fact that, you know, there's the obvious LGBTQ part of this story here. You're not allowed to criticize him for this. If you do, you're kind of being homophobic. Tell me more about your thoughts on Pete Buttigieg.
I'm not a fan, and I'm not going to hesitate to criticize him. And I want to repeat something I've said on your show and every other show I've ever been on in my entire life. Disagreement is not fear. It's not synonymous with fear. Just because I disagree with Pete Buttigieg or you or anybody else does not mean I'm afraid of Pete Buttigieg or you or anybody else. My land, disagreement is not synonymous. If I disagree with homosexual behavior, it's not a phobia. And anybody who wants to challenge me on that, I welcome them. I welcome them. Let's have a debate.
I've made that argument for a long time as well. It's not a phobia. But what they've done is it's like they redefine a lot of words, like they redefine vaccine to fit their narrative here. They've redefined phobia to not mean fear. It means dislike. If you're a homophobe, you don't like homosexuals. If you're a transphobe, you don't like. That's what they're going to do. That's how they pigeonhole you. But go ahead.
They do. They corner you and they label you. It's an ad hominem attack, and it's also a straw man fallacy. And we need to confront that. So we could deal with that at a different time. So my point on Pete Buttigieg is this. If you want more proof that choosing your leaders on the basis of their sexual choices, and that's exactly what we did with Pete Buttigieg, he was no more qualified for that position than I am. I mean, he was the mayor and a relatively unsuccessful mayor of a middle-sized town called South Bend, Indiana. What makes him qualified for his position? Nothing. The only reason he was appointed is because he's gay. We just need to call a spade a spade. That's the truth. And here we have a guy who is not qualified to be transportation secretary of the United States. He may be qualified to be the trans secretary, but not the transportation secretary.
No, that would be Richard Levine.
Fair enough.
Richard / Rachel Levine. That would be the one for the trans, not transportation secretary. But anyway, continue.
So, and that may be a good segue to the next commentary here. But my point is, you have a guy who doesn't know what he's doing. He's on leave for 2 months while we have ships in L.A. Harbor and every other harbor around the nation that aren't getting unloaded, and therefore what is not happening? Things are not being transported from point A to point B across our nation, and we can't buy stuff. Get this man out of his house and get him to do his job, or fire him. Do something other than just sit back and smile at his cute little pictures of him and his boyfriend with their new baby. I mean, this is crazy.
It is exactly that. And I think the most important part of what you just said, outside of a couple of chuckles on transportation, is the fact that he was never qualified for this position. If he was on the job, Dr. Piper, I don't think we would be any closer to a solution. I don't think the truck situation would be resolved. I don't think the ports and the ships that are backed up. We actually have a traffic jam in the ocean. And this transportation secretary is AWOL. I don't even know if he was on the job if it would make any difference, because you're right. He has no qualifications whatsoever to actually handle this. He doesn't have experience. He doesn't have the know-how, and his presence either in his office or in his in his bed posing for pictures with his boyfriend and their adopted children. I think either way we're stuck.
And this is the reality of identity politics. This is the greatest chink in the armor of the left. Identity politics always focuses on what? Subjective identity as the precursor for leadership. I don't care what you look like. I don't care about a lot of things when it comes to what you do, Bob. What I do care about is, are you qualified for the job? Mm-hmm. The color of your skin, critical race theory, BLM, all of this identity nonsense actually elevates people to leadership roles based on their feelings. They feel like something, therefore they're qualified to be a leader. No, I don't care about any of that. What I care about is your resume. Can you do the job? And identity politics cares about the exact opposite.
Dr. Piper, the last 3 minutes I want to spend on this, because I figured you'd appreciate it in a different kind of a way. Yesterday, if you didn't know, was an International Pronouns Day. I didn't know. I didn't know that existed. But it does. And you know how I found out it existed? Not by some radical LGBT group. I found out from the United States State Department. The Department of State blue-checked and verified. This is the State Department run by Tony Blinken actually tweeted yesterday, today on International Pronouns Day, we share why so many people list pronouns on their email and social media profiles. Read more about why it matters, what pronouns you use to refer to people, and how in the United States embraces sharing pronouns. Dr. Piper, this is the State Department that is now essentially saying, we don't believe in science, and we also don't believe in English. We don't believe in grammar, because we're going to call a single individual person they or there, and we're going to call people words that don't exist, like XE and XR and Z and Zer, if that's what they want to be called by. I'll just give you free rein here, Dr. Piper. You got 2 minutes left. What do you want to say?
Okay, if we don't think our enemies are watching us, we're crazy. We're out of our ever-loving mind. If you don't think China is watching this nonsense, then you're nuts. If you don't think Vladimir Putin, if you don't think Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran, if you don't think North Korea is watching us, if you don't think Cuba is watching us, in everything we do, I mean, we're letting people flow through our borders. We don't have a border anymore. We don't care. We don't even define what it means to be the United States, because we have no definable borders around our country. We are bowing at this COVID crisis just because we're afraid of saying, I fear death, so take my liberty rather than give me liberty or give me death. And I use that to lead up to these last 30 seconds where I say this. If you don't think people are watching us with Pete Buttigieg, with his boyfriend in a swing, giggling and chuckling, if you don't think they're watching these photos of him cuddling with his boyfriend in their bed, that's the leadership of our country. If you don't think they're watching this pronoun crap, that's more important to us than defending freedom. If you don't think they're watching all of this, then you're not. This stuff makes us look weak, and our enemies are watching.
Dr. Everett Piper laying it out as only he can. Terrific stuff, Dr. Piper. Thank you. I knew you'd have some interesting comments on that last one. I just got a message, as you were finishing your remarks from my partner who got these shirts made for me like in record time after I kind of made my offhanded quip about science and compliance. And the message said, ask Dr. Piper what his shirt size is. We'll get it in the mail today.
Give me a large. Okay. And I promise I'm going to get a picture back to you, a good Oklahoma picture. And when I said open carry, I didn't mean alcohol. I mean a sidearm.
And I want to see the cowboy hat and boots, too. If you got spurs, put them on. I want to see the whole outfit.
Good deal.
Thank you, Doctor. Dr. Everett Piper joining us on AM 1420, The Answer. We're guest-free the rest of the way, so if you wanted to get in line, do so now. Got a question, got a comment, want to hear from you, 216-901-0945 on The Authority.
Two sides to every story. There's the mainstream media side, and then there's the truth. You are experiencing the truth. The Bob France Authority on AM 1420. The Answer.
I say this with respect, with all the respect I can muster. But my advice to the president is this. Mr. President, you just got to try harder not to suck. I say this with respect, with all the respect I can muster. But my advice to the president is this. Mr. President, you just got to try harder not to suck.
I can't hear it enough. I literally feel like the kid at Christmas. You know, whatever your favorite toy is, when you're opening up Christmas presents, and there's one that just makes you put everything else away. And you shove them on back under the tree. I'll look at them later, but there's the one thing you want to play with. I don't care what it was, if it was your G.I. Joe or if it was your basketball, whatever. That's what I feel like. Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana just gave me a gift, and it's Christmas morning, and I'm just going to continue to play with it because it's just something I enjoy. This is just outstanding. And it's a message that I think President Biden would do well to take to heart. And
I say this with respect, with all the respect I can muster. But my advice to the president is this. Mr. President, you just got to try harder not to suck.
Oh, he's phenomenal. About the only other guy who can turn a phrase quite the way Senator Kennedy can is former President of the United States, number 45, Donald Trump. Did you hear the news? President Trump is going to be back on social media, but not Twitter. And nope, he's not kissing the ring of Mark Zuckerberg to get back onto Facebook. Donald Trump is going to be next month back on social media, and it's going to be on Trump Media. Trump Media and Technology Group will soon be launching a social network called Truth Social. Truth Social is now available for pre-order in the Apple App Store. Truth Social plans to begin its beta launch for invited guests in November. A nationwide rollout is expected in the first quarter of 2022. If you're interested in joining Truth Social, you can visit truthsocial.com to sign up for the invite list to be a part of that beta group. President Donald J. Trump, the chairman of TMTG, Truth Media and Technology Group, or Trump Media and Technology Group, beg your pardon, stated this, quote, I created Truth Social and TMTG to stand up to the tyranny of big tech. We live in a world where the Taliban has a huge presence on Twitter, yet your favorite American president has been silenced. This is unacceptable. I am excited to send out my first truth on Truth Social very soon. So I guess that's what they're going to be called. When you send a message, instead of it being a tweet, it will be a truth. On Truth Social. TMTG was founded with a mission to give a voice to all. I'm excited to soon begin sharing my thoughts on Truth Social and fight back against big tech. Everyone asks me, why doesn't someone stand up to big tech? Well, we will be soon. End quote. And I got to tell you, I am so beyond excited for this. Like I said, to me, the best part was the line. We live in a world, said Donald Trump, where the Taliban has a huge presence on Twitter, yet your favorite American president has been silenced. His ability to troll his haters and delight and entertain and make his supporters like me and you laugh is unparalleled. Simply amazing. Your favorite ex-president is coming to the rescue against big tech.
Can you dig it?
And I am thrilled about that. So if you are an Apple user, and by the way, I'm going to say this too, real quick. Ever since Twitter banned Donald Trump and Facebook banned Donald Trump in the last year of his presidency, I've been saying I don't want Trump to go back on social media. I want him to create his own social media company, which this is. And I was saying that I think he should not, if he really wants to help and break up big tech's monopoly, somebody like Donald Trump needs to come out with their own phone, a Trump line of smartphones, so that we're not forced to choose between the only two that there are on the market. There's Androids, which is owned by Google, part of the big tech tyranny. And there are iPhones, which is owned by Apple, part of the big tech tyranny. Now, I did an interview with a guy from Silicon Valley a couple of months ago about his phone. And I thought, somebody did it. Somebody created it. You know, the answer here. And I was really, really excited about it. He told me everything it was going to do and you know, it was going to be free of censorship and this and that and the other. And I was so excited, but I didn't have another $700 just to buy one. And I mentioned on the air, you know, I wasn't going to buy one right away. I just don't, you know, it's not cost effective for me right now, blah, blah, blah. Well, a listener, a very devoted listener and a very great guy that I've really, really have a huge amount of respect for, sent one to me, bought one and sent it to me. And said he wanted me to have the new phone because, you know, if it really is what it's supposed to be, it can help drive Apple and Android, iPhones and Androids out of the market. He said, with your voice, if you like it, tell everybody about your experiences. So he literally sent me one free of charge. When I opened it, however, I was very disappointed when I turned it on and came to realize it operates the Android operating system. So in other words, Google is still making money with the sale of these new smartphones. They were called the Freedom phones. Maybe you've heard of it. I told the inventor that I was thrilled with the idea because I thought he had created his own platform and his own OS, and he didn't. His own operating system is not his own, it's Android's. So Google still makes money on every Freedom phone sold. And so I told the guy who sent it to me, the super, super generous and nice man, I'm going to send it back to him so that he can use it or, you know, give it to somebody else or whatever, because I'm not going to use it. It's simply promoting Google. As such, I'm still stuck on Apple because that's what I have as an iPhone. So why am I bringing all of this up? Because the story I just told you about President Trump starting his own social media platform, I'm not convinced that's where it ends. He created Trump Media and Technology Group. You catching on? If it was just a social media platform, maybe he would have created Trump Media Group. It's not just a social media platform. It's Trump Media and Technology Group. I am going to, until I have reason to not believe, I'm going to have a little bit of faith and put a little bit of hope and a little bit of belief into Donald Trump and his team of experts working on their own smartphone, so that he can tackle Android and iPhone and get Google and Apple and take billions of dollars away from them after they have done so much to censor us and shut us up. Google, by the way, if you don't remember, owns YouTube. And YouTube has been censoring Prager University, for example, and other conservatives like nobody's business. So you may recall this too. Back in June, I interviewed President Trump before his visit to Wellington, his first big rally in his post-presidential life. And I had the president on the air, and I asked him, I said, hey, I've been hoping somebody would create a third alternative to the smartphone market that has been cornered by Android and iPhone. And I said, I was thinking somebody like a billionaire ex-president. What do you say? And he kind of was noncommittal. He kind of chuckled about it and didn't really address it much. But I'm wondering if that wasn't in his head or if I put it in his head. Because here we are, June to October, and the announcement of the Trump Media and Technology Group launching a social network. And I wonder if down the line the next step is launching a new cell phone, a new smartphone, to really, really give competition to the tyrannical big tech oligarchs. All right. That's a lot of information, but I felt like all of it was worth sharing. TJ's in Cleveland. Hey, TJ, go ahead.
You know, Bob, every time I think I can't be shocked anymore by this Biden potato administration, they do it. This Buttigieg taken off in the middle of a crisis. Now, just imagine in the Second World War, Bob, we're ready to invade Normandy. And General Eisenhower says, hey, boys, good luck. You're on your own. I'm going on paternity leave, though. You know, Americans would have went nuts, all of them. But with this Buttigieg, half this country agrees with them. I mean, you know, like, we're in trouble. We're really in trouble. And on the lighter side, Bob, I know this isn't a subject, but real quick, I'm listening to Tucker Carlson last night. And in England, they have to actually pass a law because these woke liberals, vegans, are putting their dogs on a total vegan diet. The dogs are getting sick, they're dying, you know, and they have to actually make it a criminal offense now to not feed your dog right. You can't live, a dog can't live on carrots and cucumbers, it needs meat. These people are nuts. I mean, and the sad part is half the country agrees with them.
Yeah, that is the sad part. Although, you know what, here's the thing, TJ, maybe this will make you feel better. And thank you for the call, keep listening. I'm not so certain that half the country agrees with these far-left radical ideas and policies and even things like the vegan dog food story. I think one thing that we can thank the Biden administration for is the massive shift away from that type of thinking that he is creating. One year ago, in a Gallup poll, asking about the size of government and what role government should have in fixing America's problems, they surveyed Democrats, independents, and Republicans. As you can imagine, Democrats were super strong on the government should do everything to fix people's problems. Republicans almost overwhelmingly, or definitely overwhelmingly, said no, they should do very little, get out of the way and let people deal with things themselves. Independents, one year ago, leaned way to the left on this issue. One year ago, independents favored more government by a 56-38 margin. That's pretty doggone huge. That's what? That's an 18-point spread. Now, that was one year ago in the middle of 2020, in the middle of the pandemic. Now, today, one year later, but more importantly, 10 months after the inauguration of Joe Biden. In fact, isn't today the 10th, or the exact 10-month anniversary? No, today's 21st. But anyway, 10 months into the Biden administration, in which the government is doing exactly what they said they wanted, which is the government to handle everything. The government tells you where you can go, when you can go there, where you can worship, what businesses can stay open, how far you can stand away from somebody, what can be sold, what the prices are, whether or not we can have a pipeline and drill for our own oil. I mean, with the government doing literally everything in 10 months under Joe Biden. Independents, which, again, are not partisan. These aren't Republicans or Democrats. These are independents surveyed by the same Gallup poll as a year ago. They now oppose bigger government 57-38. What was a 56-38 margin in favor of big Democrat government is now a 57-38 margin against big government Democrat solutions. That's a 37-point swing in one year. It was plus 18 for big government last year. Now it's minus 19 for big government this year. A 37-point swing in a year. So, TJ, I bring this up because I had the story locked and loaded anyway. And when you said half the country agrees with these lunatic ideas, I don't think that's the case anymore. Half the country isn't Democrats and half the country isn't Republicans. It's maybe a third of the country is each of the parties, and there's a big, massive middle ground called the independents or the centrists or the non affiliated party members, or non-party affiliated members, rather, of the voting class, who decide elections and who decide many things on policy. And overwhelmingly, all it's taken is 10 months of Biden big government policies to overwhelmingly turn those independents around from being pro-big government, 56-38, to being pro-small government, get the government the hell out of our lives, 57-38. So I hope that brings you a little bit of hope. It does me. People are waking up. If you're looking for some silver lining to the Joe Biden dark cloud nightmare, that silver lining is Americans see what Democrat politics look like now, what Democrat policies look like now, and they are fleeing from it. So that matters. Last segment coming up, AM 1420, The Answer.
Download the free WHK mobile app and listen to your favorite WHK programs or podcasts on the go. It's free in your app store.
I just got a message on Facebook that blew my mind from somebody who said, when I said, are you coming out to Lakewood for the antibodies party tonight, they sent me a question mark. Like, they didn't know about it. How do you not know about it? I'm talking about it on the radio every day, and I'm posting it all over the place every day. Come on, Mario, you know who you are. I don't want to embarrass my friend, executive board member of the Geauga County Republican Party. All right, I'm embarrassing him, Mario Innocenzi. I expect to see you in Lakewood tonight for the antibodies party. And by the way, as I said before, I want everybody to be clear. You don't actually have to have active antibodies to come to this party. It's kind of the way we thought about it and the way we planned it and the reason we wanted to do it. But the reality is I just want people who are believers in natural science and believers in natural immunity. And the antibodies party is to celebrate and show that we understand it and that we don't need vaccines over top of it. It is ridiculous to think that we do. We are absolutely more protected. The science says so. But, of course, as you know, they don't want science. They only want compliance. And that's why you need to get your science compliance shirt that I'm selling as well. Diane is in West Park. Hi, Diane. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Bob. First, I want to say thank you so much for bringing me to the depths of despair and the heights of hope almost on a daily basis, because you have such truth, such facts, and then you have the people who, and your own passion, who just set us straight and know that we're still on boy, I love it that we're reclaiming our freedoms. We're not defending them. Okay. Now, Bob, this first half of my comment is going to be for real, and I'd like to suggest at your antibodies party tonight that you offer a saline shot in addition to all those other ones. And I even came up with a name for it in a recipe while I was waiting.
Okay.
You could call it the Red Hot Locked and Loaded. It could be apple cider and a shot of red hot cinnamon stuff in it.
I
but
like
of course,
that.
It should be free because everybody's entitled, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
On the other hand, might be because it would be not for profit, that'd be a problem. So you tell them it's free, then you charge them double, okay? And then you donate the proceeds to Citizens for Free Speech. How about that?
Well, that is exactly what we are doing with the raffles and the sideboards and things that we're going to have at the party tonight. We're going to generate funds for Citizens for Free Speech. I love the way you think. Just run it the way the government runs it, right?
Right.
Are you going to be there tonight? Are you stopping by?
I'm sorry I'm not, but I do know a friend of mine who is not a drinker or an imbiber of alcohol who would probably love to be able to order a saline shot.
Yes. Well, like I said, I'm not a drinker either, but I'm going to be there having fun, and I'm going to serve up all of the. They have drink specials there. They're going to have all kinds of different things. So yeah, saline shots and others. Yeah, but it's going to be a great time. You don't have to be a drinker to come out there and have a good time and socialize with people and talk about real science and talk about real solutions as well. So Diane, I love your ideas and I love your creativity. Thank you for the call.
God bless.
You too. Thank you so much. All right. So there you have it. I want to wrap it just by reminding everybody once again, if you have one of the t-shirts, they don't want science, they want compliance, wear it tonight to Lakewood. That's number one. if you don't have one, number two is you can get one there. We will have a table set up, and you can get your they only want compliance T-shirt. Number two, be there at any time that you want. Doors are going to open at 6:30. If you can't make it there till 7:30, 8 o'clock, 8:30, it doesn't matter. We're going to be there till at least halftime, probably maybe the end of the third quarter of the Browns game that's going to be on. So if you want to look at what wokeism looks like on a huge screen, the Browns and the Broncos will be on the huge screen in our party room. We're going to have music. We're going to have raffles. We're going to have door prizes. And we're going to raise funds. We're going to raise funds for Citizens for Free Speech at this event. And the best reason of all to go to our antibodies party, whether you have antibodies or not, and you just believe in natural immunity and anti-mandate, the best reason I want you to come to Lakewood and be with us is because they don't want us in Lakewood. I'm getting messages from Lakewood liberals who say, keep your anti-vax party out of our city. Well, guess what? Tonight on Detroit Avenue at the Avenue Tap House, we're invading their city. Let's do it together. Let's do it en masse. Everyone, antibodies party tonight. See you then.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.